Hey, here's a fun game you can play at home while you listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. Do a shot of your favorite alcohol every time Ron sighs or makes a grumpy sound. No, hold on, I'm kidding. Please don't do that. You will die from alcohol poisoning. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh, boy.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh, how are you? Didn't see you there. It's The Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am. It's Friday, I think, which means nothing. It's the threshold to the weekend, and here I am to threshold you through it. This is the Friday weekend edition of the program. Is it special? Is it different than the other episodes? No, not really. No. All right. Well, as life gets back to normal in the United States, very carefully, I may say, I'm continuing to discover what I'm missing about the social impact of the pandemia. I've been getting phone calls from so-called friends, and you can't see me, but I just did air quotes, all right? Visual, I just did air quotes. So-called friends. There are people that apparently like me. I know, figure that out. I'm getting calls and texts and things like that from people that I know saying, Ron, now that the pandemia is over, we should get together. Oh my God, I'm being accosted by people I know. Oh, I've talked about this during the prior week because I'm starting to realize that as dangerous and horrible and horrific as the pandemia was, it served me so well socially. I talked a few days ago about the fact that the restraining order is over. You called it social distancing. I called it the restraining order. We're actually signs that said don't get too close to people. As signs actually affirming my view on socializing with people. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. So now I'm getting calls, phone calls, texts, T-E-X-T, texts from people saying, Ron, let's get together. Let's have lunch together. What? Why? Why? Why would I want to eat with you? Why would I want to sit at the same table as you, pay money to watch you churn your food in your mouth as you try to talk to me? Why would I knowingly do that? That should be punishment. I'm warning you, Ron, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to have lunch with you. All right, I'll do what you say. Anything but that, please, no. Oh, they want to get together. Oh, God, that means I have to go to places again and listen to people drone on and on and on about their life. Ron, isn't that what you do professionally? Yes, but that's professionally. To do it out of the kindness of my heart, that's really stretching it, man. Oh, Lord. People have a lot of drama. Have you noticed that? Drama. It's not a soap opera. It's real life. People have real life soap operas going on, and they have no trouble telling you all their problems. What am I, a fucking psychiatrist? I'm sorry, I said psychiatrist. I apologize. why do people tell me their problems so much? Is it because I do a talk show and it sounds like I know everything, which is feasible? I guess I do. Why do people tell me their problems? And then I'm just sitting there going, I'm sick of it. Well, I had a little over a year off from that crap. And now it's over. I have no excuses. Nobody's Zooming me anymore. What's the matter with the Zoom thing? I could have an in-depth conversation with somebody and not even wear pants. I had telemedicine appointments with my doctor as follow-ups. Telemedicine appointments. I have a female doctor. I had a medical appointment through Zoom with no pants on with my female doctor. I mean, it's one thing in the examining room when they say take your pants off, you want to examine the bottom half of your body. That's one thing. Put on the little Johnny. And I apologize to anybody named Johnny that they named that after you. But to just take my pants off and have a meeting with somebody on a Zoom, I mean, that's unheard of. That's what we could do. Oh, man. It's over. It's over. Now I have to see people. I have to get in my car and drive to them. Oh, gosh. I don't know if I can ever get used to that again. Have you noticed now that you can go places in this country? Have you noticed that there's a lot of people in the country? I forgot that. I thought it was just like 7 or 8 people. But now that I'm getting out into the public again, I'm noticing there's people all over the place. No matter where you go, there's large amounts of people. I didn't remember that before. Everywhere you go, people. You go to a supermarket, all you want to do is buy some food to bring it home and put it in your refrigerator. You go to the supermarket. Do you know what they're full of? People. People with shopping carts. They're driving these little metal things on wheels and filling them up. But there's all kinds of people. I don't interact with them, but they're there in the food aisles. They're all over the damn place. Do you ever try to drive somewhere? There's other cars on the road, making it impossible for you to get where you want to go. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I don't know if I'll ever go to the movies again, to a movie theater, because I'm remembering that when I went to the movies, there were other people there too, sitting next to me, people I didn't even know. That's too much socialization. Now, of course, I'm exaggerating for theatrical purposes, but the thesis is true. There's too many goddamn people around here. It's, you know, it's funny. It's not funny, but you know, it's funny, but it isn't funny. We are a social people. Well, you are. And now that we can spend time with all these people, what's your overriding attitude? Seriously, tell me. I want some time to myself. You had time to yourself for over a year. I know. I want some more of it. What do people do when they go crazy, when they can't take it anymore? They all say, I want to rent a cabin in the mountains and there's no people around and it's just peace and quiet and me in a rocking chair. That's what we aspire to. Unless you're under 50 years old, then you want to go to Aruba or someplace where people party day and night. As soon as you hit 50 years old, I just want a cabin just by myself when I can just sit there by myself and get away from it all. It changes. It's 50. It's 50 years old. It's when it's, Ron, no, I'm 50 and I still feel like I want to be active. It's bullshit. No, you don't. You're just saying that. You're trying to convince yourself of that. Now I'll admit it. It's not that I'm sick of people. It's more that I'm kind of sick of them. Anyway, happy Friday to you as you embark upon your weekend. Yeah, as you go to your favorite place to get away from it all, where there's another 7 million people doing the same thing. Didn't work, did it? No. Best thing you can do is go to a Mexican restaurant. Let me explain. I can't go to Mexican restaurants anymore. I just can't do it. One, because they're, well, when you order a drink, an alcoholic beverage at the Mexican restaurant, I guarantee you won't be able to drive within like half an hour. They've got this thing in Mexican restaurants called tequila, which should be banned. It shouldn't be legal. And people in the Mexican restaurants, I don't know if they don't know what they're doing, but they pour very heavy. No, I didn't order half a bottle of tequila. I just ordered a margarita. I mean, they are so strong. If you lit one of those things with a match, the building would explode. I mean, they are potent stuff. So, yeah. And you know what it is about the margarita? You know what it is? They're tasty. And it's like a soft drink, you know. They're too damn tasty. Anyway, full of sugar, too damn tasty. Then you order the food. Food is tasty. They all look the same. Mexican food all tastes the same. You know, whether it's a burrito, a taco, a chimichanga, a tamale, an enchilada, anything you want to call them. It's the same stuff, just rolled up different. That's all. It's the same stuff done different ways to it. Everything could be beef, chicken, or well, everything's got cheese on it. Everything's got the same, so it's just all the same. But you know what? You don't give a crap anymore because you had too many margaritas. You've had so much to drink. You'll put anything in your mouth at that time. Yeah, you know, it's true. So I can't do Mexican food anymore. It's too. And then here's the worst part about Mexican food. Hey, wait a second. Can you believe you're listening to this? Just stop for a second. Can you believe you're listening to this? What the hell are you doing? What are you doing with your life? Here's the worst part about going to a Mexican restaurant, and it's absolutely the worst, and you know it's true. As soon as you sit down, what do they put on the table in a Mexican restaurant? Well, as soon as you sit down, salsa and chips, those tortilla chips, those habitual pieces of deep fried cocaine. As soon as you sit down, somebody comes over and puts it right in front of you. And you look at it and you know you want it, baby. You know you want it, baby. And there they are in front of you. And you start eating them. And you can't stop. You can't stop. It's you can't stop. You might as well shoot those things into your veins. And the salsa is usually very runny. And by the time you've eaten like five or six of those tortilla chips, that salsa is all over your shirt. It's all over it. You can go anywhere, and strangers will look at you and say, "You just went to a Mexican restaurant, right? You got salsa all over your clothes." It's awful. It's awful. And then the Mexican person comes over and takes your order, and you say, "I'll have whatever you bring me because it's all the same stuff. So what the hell is the difference?" Even the margaritas. You can't just sit there and say, "I'll have a margarita." No, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. They have 20 or 30 different types of margaritas. And then you got to make the ultimate decision. Do you want salt on the rim? Oh, man, I'm not supposed to. I'm not supposed to have so much salt, but salt on the rim. Oh, my God. What a wonderful idea. I don't know. Life is a temptation, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it is. Life is the stuff that's available to you that you shouldn't be doing. That's what life is. Life decision, whether you should get married or not, whether you should have children, whether you should take that job, whether you should move. Life decision? No, that's not a life decision. A life decision is, should I get the salt around the rim of the margarita glass? I don't know what to do. I will have to call somebody and ask for their opinion. These are the decisions that are difficult. Are they life-changing? No. Have nothing to do with life-changing events. These are the ones that are hardest to make. I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program, which could be not too long from now. And then you can be on your merry way and continue building that shed in your backyard. What, you have no backyard? Build a backyard. Why stop now? It's the summer, and it's time for people to do stuff that they didn't have to do all winter. I love the winter. You can't do anything in the winter, you know? You can't do any outside work. You can't do a lot of work on your home because it's too cold out. And it's too cold inside. So you put it all off. And well, when the summer comes, I'm going to put a thing there, and I'm going to put a thing here. We're going to completely redo this, and we're going to lay some foundation and make that. We're going to get these things cleaned. We're going to overhaul and do spring cleaning, and we're going to, God, all the, in the winter, it's just like this list in your head is just a mile long. Then the summer comes, and it's time to do all that stuff, and it's like, I don't know. Whatever, I'm just so tired. I'm just so tired from not doing anything. It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. I do a lot of interviews in the spring about usually people from the Home and Garden Television Network. They go on the radio on shows like this, and they tell us about all the do-it-yourself things. And I laugh at them. I don't laugh at them when I'm interviewing them because that would be rude. That's like looking at somebody and saying, you know, by the way, you're very, very ugly. You don't do that. You just don't do that. It is the case, but you don't say that. So I don't do that during the interviews, but these people say, you know, Ron, it's time to do it yourself. What you do is, here's what you do, and here's some tips and ideas on to do it yourself. But no, you know what? You do it yourself. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Stop trying to inject me with excitement. Don't have room for that. That's not part of me anymore. Ron, you should get excited. He says, here's what you do. You get a hammer and nails and you no, you got the wrong guy. Sorry. Ron, don't get hammer and nails. Ron, don't get that stuff. Sorry. Do it yourself. Yeah, do it yourself. You do it yourself. All right, my guest is coming up very shortly. But first, this is a feature that we have on the show every once in a while because many of my listeners actually have no concept on how to live their lives. So they need to listen to the horoscopes. And we do have an incredible expert who helps us, who helps guide us, really, through life with suggestions on what you should do with yourself. And, well, here's Skip Starchild.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your horoscopescape for the month. Let's see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, there are just two words for your month ahead. Regrettable tattoos. Pisces, remember that when one door closes, another one opens. Usually. You probably shouldn't stand around waiting. You could try knocking politely, but... yeah. Aries, no one wants to get hit by falling space junk, but you should probably get used to the idea. Taurus, New friends and a new outlook on life are coming your way, thanks to a blow to the skull and subsequent amnesia. Gemini, get out of that bad relationship you're in, because the bad part? Yeah, that would be you. Cancer, keep in mind that naked midnight spearfishing during a thunderstorm only sounds like a good idea when you're really drunk and should probably be taken home instead. Leo, here are your two words for the month. Lengthy trial. Oh, and two more. Concurrent sentences. Virgo, just when it looks like things are about as bad as it gets, get ready to discover that you are wrong. Libra, a modeling opportunity is coming your way this month. Looks like you'll be the before picture for either weight loss or hair restoration or toe fungus removal. Possibly all three. Scorpio, change your travel plans soon. The stars are a little clear on exactly why, but apparently everyone in Taiwan hates you. Sagittarius, you're going viral this month, but a hearty dose of antibiotics should clear that right up in no time. Capricorn, you will soon hear from an old flame. Considering your track record, it will probably be about bail money or muling one more load of coke over the border, but just see where that goes. Why not? That's your horoscopescape for the month. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Jill. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great. Jill Angelo joins us. She's co-founder and CEO of Genev. You know, we're talking about menopause, you and I, and yet that conversation is not really had by people that even know each other. It's just, it's astounding to me that a natural part of life is taboo for some reason. That's odd.
Yeah, you know, I'm right there with you, Ron. It is a part of life. Even women are uncomfortable talking about sometimes with one another. So you're in good company. You know, a lot of the reason why I think we're so uncomfortable with it is number one, it's personal, but it's generally associated with a lot of negatives, you know, things like hot flashes or moodiness. And yet there's a lot of other aspects to it that impact our health, like our joint pain and inability to sleep. And yet there's positives. There's a new independence about life. And who's not to say that the second half isn't better than the first?
No question about it. And when you start talking to people in the second half, they say, yeah, you know, this is better than the first. So I'm glad we're talking about, and I guess the idea of this is to open up that conversation and not have that stigma involved. And of course, the number of people that go through menopause every year, the number of women is high, right?
Yeah, you know, 1.3 million new women naturally age into mm-hmm. menopause every year. This mm-hmm. is women in their 40s and their 50s, for a total of around 38 million women in the U.S. at any given moment. So it's significant.
Yeah. Excuse my ignorance, because I am not a woman. I don't know. I think it's obvious that I'm not. And I don't quite understand. I mean, men go through a change of life as well. It's not as pronounced. It's not, there are not as many balloons involved, but men also go through body changes that they have to deal with in senses of virility, being fertile. I mean, all that kind of stuff. The body starts aching. They go through that too, and yet we call it menopause, but it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you know, I think I agree. I think in terms of the term menopause, mm-hmm. it was named by a man, if that kind of explains it. But I do agree. Women or men go through a lot of change. I think women's changes are just amplified because sometimes the impacts are more apparent. It impacts a bigger part of the body.
Uh huh. Yeah. Okay. So there you go. What do we do about this? I mean, how do we make this a situation that we can talk about?
Well, you know, I think number one, we've got to have conversations like this one. So I'm glad we're talking about mm-hmm. it on air. And second of all, we've got to get help to women. We've got to give them resources, not only education on what's happening in their bodies, supportive community of other women that are going through it, but mostly access to health providers. And that's something that we're doing at Genev.
Good. And what exactly is done in that? What does Genev actually do?
So Genev is an online, you know, kind of a digital clinic for women. You can go to genev.com. It's genev.com. Mm-hmm. And at Genev, you can get a lot of free information about this transition in life. But most important, you can actually talk to a menopause expert. We've got health coaches that work on lifestyle behavior change for women. We've got physicians that can prescribe medication if that's necessary. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, diagnose and treat menopause in a way that oftentimes your typical doctor just isn't effective in doing simply because they just don't know much about it.
Yeah.
It's a part of, you know, physician education that's oftentimes unfortunately left out. And so what we're trying to do is fill that void and improve access to quality care.
Interesting. Why is there such an age difference in when menopause occurs? I know some women that are they're sometimes over a decade apart of feeling these symptoms.
You know, typically, and when you think about the typical age, women start to move into the early stages of menopause in their 40s, mm-hmm. And then will continue through it in their 50s and sometimes into their 60s. Mm. And I think that women's hormonal health, we're all very unique. We all start menstruation at a different time of life. And oftentimes, you know, women are having babies later and later in life. And so that really impacts when your body is going to go through this hormonal shift. Yeah. And it's no one size fits all. Every woman's unique. You can oftentimes talk to your mother or, you know, family. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's some similarities there. But increasingly, every woman we're seeing really experiences it on her own timeline.
It's very interesting about how a natural thing is viewed differently. I mean, a man goes through erectile dysfunction usually at a certain point in their life. Many of them do, but they never discuss it amongst each other. Oh my God. And he would figure, well, I mean, like, what's the problem here? It's just, it's amazing society-wise how we handle these natural progressions.
Yeah. I think that, well, you always wonder, you're the only one going through it. The more that we do talk about this, the more it normalizes things, whether it's male or female. It just helps. So again, I'm thrilled you're having the conversation this morning on the show, because it opens it up for both men and women around these are normal human transitions.
Right. Yeah. When you talk to other people who are in the same situation, all of a sudden it's things are a lot better, and it's support is underlined here, and that's what you do. Again, the website, please.
Genev.com. That's GENEV.com.
Great. Jill, thanks so much for speaking with us today. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful. I don't know how to thank you, so I won't, because I have no way of knowing how to thank you. I don't know how to thank you. I just said that, so I'm not going to do it. But thank you. Now I didn't know what I just said. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new show. Until then, you take care of yourself, and I wish you peace.